Welcome to the History AI Podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Welcome back, history lovers, to the History AI Podcast. I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. And today, we've got a story that is equal parts bizarre, terrifying, and somehow a little catchy.
I see what you did there. Folks, today we're diving into the Dancing Plague of 1518. That's right, a literal plague of people dancing uncontrollably for days, weeks, even to the point of exhaustion and death.
Sounds like a medieval music festival gone horribly wrong.
Or the world's first, and worst, flash mob.
Either way, we're going to unravel the mystery behind this strange historical event. Was it mass hysteria? A case of ergot poisoning? Or something even weirder? Stick with us as we put on our best historian shoes.
And try not to dance ourselves into oblivion.
So, let's set the stage. Strasbourg, 1518. This was part of the Holy Roman Empire, in what is now modern-day France. And like most of Europe at the time, life was, well, kind of miserable.
You had disease, famine, and the occasional witch trial. Just the usual medieval fun.
Exactly. And right in the middle of all this hardship, in July of 1518, a woman named Frau Trophia walked into the street and started dancing. But not in a fun, let's celebrate you kind of way. This was frantic, uncontrolled, and entirely involuntary.
And she didn't stop. She danced for hours. Then, into the night. Then, into the next day.
This wasn't just some Renaissance TikTok challenge. She kept going for nearly a week.
And here's where it gets crazy. Within days, other people started joining in. At first, it was a handful, but soon, dozens of people were afflicted with this uncontrollable urge to dance.
By the end of the month, we're talking hundreds of people caught up in the madness.
Now, you might be thinking, surely someone thought, hey, this seems like a problem. Maybe we should do something? And you'd be right. The city's leaders turned to the best medical minds of the time.
Oh, and their diagnosis? Too much hot blood.
Yep, according to medieval medical theory, this wasn't demonic possession or witchcraft, this was just an imbalance of bodily fluids. Specifically, they thought the best way to cure these poor souls was more dancing.
So instead of stopping them, they actually built a stage, hired musicians, and encouraged people to keep dancing.
I can't decide if that's a brilliant strategy or a terrible one.
Oh, it was definitely terrible. Because instead of stopping, people started collapsing from exhaustion. Some suffered strokes, others reportedly danced themselves to death.
And just like that, this went from footloose to final destination.
So, here's the big question: what actually caused the dancing plague? Historians and scientists have debated this for centuries, and there are a few leading theories.
All right, let's break them down. Theory number one, mass hysteria.
This is the idea that extreme stress, hardship, and fear can trigger collective psychogenic illness, where symptoms spread psychologically rather than physically.
Makes sense. Strasbourg was dealing with famine and disease, so people were already on edge. If one person started dancing uncontrollably, the power of suggestion could have made others fall into the same state.
Basically, a medieval panic attack, except instead of hyperventilating, you moonwalk to your doom.
All right, theory number two, ergot poisoning.
This one's interesting. Ergot is a toxic mold that grows on rye and other grains. If ingested, it can cause hallucinations, spasms, and convulsions. Some historians believe the people of Strasbourg could have been tripping, literally, due to contaminated bread.
Basically, a bad medieval acid trip.
Exactly. Though, one issue with this theory is that ergot poisoning usually causes seizures, not coordinated dancing.
True. Plus, wouldn't more people be twitching rather than two-stepping?
Fair point. Which brings us to theory number three, religious or superstitious influence.
Some records suggest that there was a local belief that Saint Vitus, the patron saint of dancing and epilepsy, could punish sinners by making them dance uncontrollably.
So, if people believed they had been cursed, they might have literally danced themselves into a frenzy out of fear.
That's some next-level mind over matter. So after weeks of relentless, exhausting, life-threatening dancing, how did this madness finally stop?
Well, after realizing that encouraging more dancing was a terrible plan, officials decided to take a different approach.
Oh, you mean common sense?
Exactly. They banned music and dancing in the city and instead sent the afflicted to a shrine dedicated to Saint Vitus. There, they prayed for forgiveness, walked in a slow religious procession, and wore red shoes blessed by priests.
And miraculously, it worked. The dancing finally stopped.
Well, either the power of faith helped, or people just finally collapsed from exhaustion.
Either way, the dancing plague faded into history as one of the strangest unexplained events ever recorded.
So what do we make of all this? Was it mass hysteria? A bad batch of bread? A medieval curse?
Honestly, it's probably a combination of factors. But whatever the cause, it remains one of the most bizarre mass events in history.
And a reminder that history isn't just battles and kings, it's also incredibly weird.
That's what we love about it. And if you love weird history, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
A 5-star review helps us grow and bring you more stories just like this.
And if you have a topic suggestion, hit us up on social media. Plus, check out our new History AI merch, link in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in, and remember, dance responsibly.
Or at least don't let it go on for a month. Are you tired of self-help books that demand effort, motivation, and actual work? Well, great news. You're already perfect. Stop trying so hard. It's Probably Good Enough is here to show you how to do the bare minimum and love every second of it. Written by Carlos Munoz, who is definitely not qualified to give life advice, this book is the ultimate guide to lowering your standards, embracing mediocrity, and coasting your way to happiness. Packed with questionable wisdom, snack breaks, and absolutely no research, You're Already Perfect, Stop Trying So Hard, It's Probably Good Enough is the self-help satire you never knew you needed. Get your copy today. Or don't. Carlos won't judge.